friends, and welcome to season four of A Meaningful Mess podcast. I am so honored, so excited that you decided to listen, and I hope that you enjoy what you hear. I'm your host, Andy McNair, and I am a wife, mom, author, digital innovation specialist, and passionate educator that believes in today's learners. I'm so glad that you found the podcast, and I can't wait to share manageable and meaningful ideas for you to utilize in your classroom and beyond. My hope is that the ideas and strategies shared each week will help you find meaning in your mess. After you listen, please feel free to subscribe, rate, and share the podcast with anyone that you think might find it helpful. You can also connect with me over on my website at andymcnair.com, on Twitter at McNairAN3, and on Facebook and Instagram at A Meaningful Mess. Thanks for being here today. Let's get started. Welcome back to A Meaningful Mess podcast. You know, there has been so much talk about technology and ed tech, and it is almost overwhelming to think of all of the things that are available, so many options, and so many different ways to implement. And with virtual learning being our reality for so long, this has become even more so the case. And so I wanted to take some time on the podcast today to really discuss what it can look like to consider meaningful implementation, right? When we are implementing technology, we want to do it for a reason. We want to know why we're implementing, how it's going to impact our learners. And I think there are a couple of different ways we can do that. One of the things that I talk about often, I'm sure you've heard me say this on the podcast before, is that anything we're doing in our classroom, we want to consider from two different perspectives. Is it manageable and is it meaningful? Because that's how we'll know if it's sustainable. And if you haven't seen my graphic before, I share it often on social media over on Instagram. You can find me there at A Meaningful Mess. I wrote a blog post about this over at andymcnair.com. You can always go there and click on Andy's blog. I'll also link to that post in the show notes. But I have really been thinking about this idea of manageable and meaningful and the role it plays when we think about technology. And so, like I was saying, it's a Venn diagram. And so the first circle represents, is it manageable? The second circle would represent, is it meaningful? And sorry, you guys, I forgot to mute my phone. And then the middle part of that Venn diagram, where those two things come together, if it's manageable and it's meaningful, the chances of it being sustainable are much higher. And so we want to really consider that and think through that. And that's what I want to talk about on today's podcast. So whether you're an administrator who oftentimes shares technology, or maybe you are an instructional technology specialist on your campus and you share technology, or you just share new ideas or things you want educators to implement, I think some of these things we're going to talk about will make sense. So thinking about those two things, I really want to land on this idea of, is it meaningful? And I want to talk through the three questions that I think you can ask when you're thinking about technology. Specifically, you know, today we're talking about that, but as I said, I think you can use these in so many other ways. But just thinking through technology and the tools that we are encouraged to utilize, or tools that we are, you know, when you go to a conference or you watch something online and you're like, oh my gosh, that's so cool, I can't wait to implement that. There are steps we have to take before we do that. And I think one of those steps is to really consider, is this going to be meaningful for my learners? So what is meaningful and really manageable in one classroom may not be meaningful and manageable in another classroom. I think it's important to say that. But how do we know if it's meaningful? And I think there are really three questions that we can ask. I'm going to share a bonus question as well. But I think meaningful technology should do three things. It should engage and empower the learner. It should help them make connections, and it should deepen their understanding, right? When I'm thinking about, am I going to use this technology tool with this learning experience? I think we should ask ourselves those things. Is it going to engage and empower? Is it going to help them make connections? And is it going to deepen their understanding? So let's talk through those and kind of, how do you know? What does that look like? And let's start with this idea of engaging and empowering our learners. And I think in order to really understand this part of deciding if something is meaningful, we have to understand what engagement means. And again, if you listen to the podcast often, you've heard me say this, but engagement, or something that is engaging, results in a willingness to invest from our learners, and not just a willingness to invest, but an active willingness to invest. So we can see that movement from being passive to being active. That's how we know something is engaging. So if a tool that we are thinking about using does that, right, if it moves them from a passive state to an active state of the learning, then, oh my goodness, I think it's definitely something that we consider. But I think also thinking about empowerment, you know, what does it look like to empower our learners, and how do we do that using technology? Can technology play a role in that? And I think 100%. You know, one thing that comes to mind, I'm not going to lie, I'm a big Flipgrid fan. You guys know that. And I'm not saying Flipgrid is always the answer and always, and that it should be used in every classroom. I'm just saying, when we think about that idea of empowerment, thinking about a student using their voice or sharing something, recording a video to get their point across, I think that empowers them. Just the definition of empower is to give someone the power to do something. And so putting them in a position where they have a platform to use their voice and to share ideas or to give feedback on someone else's ideas, I think that's really powerful. And I think it's something we should consider. So engage and empower. Does it move them from a passive part of the learning experience to active? Does it result in that willingness to invest? And does it give them the power to do something? Maybe the power to share their voice, maybe they're blogging, right? And it's the power to share their words beyond the walls of the classroom, whatever that is. But asking that question is the tool that I am implementing, will it engage and empower my learners? So that's number one. Number two, I think we have to ask ourselves, does it help them make connections? And I think we can think about this overall, like a big perspective, but I think specifically thinking about whatever it is that you're teaching, right? The content that you're teaching and you're sharing, asking yourself, does this help my learners make a connection between the content, what I want them to walk out of here with, and what we have done using this technology tool? Do those things work together? And I think sometimes it can be about the connections your students make to each other. I think it can mean the connections they make between the content and life beyond the walls of the classroom, right? Things that they see when they leave your classroom. What does that look like? And what connections are you looking for? That can determine what tool you use as well. But making connections plays a big role in engagement even, because if our learners can make the connections, if they can connect whatever it is that they're learning in class to what they experience beyond the walls of the classroom, that will oftentimes result in a higher level of engagement. And so we really want to think through, hey, what does that look like? What connections am I looking for? And how can I use this tool, whatever that may be, to help my students do that? I always like to think about one tool that really comes to mind when I think about these things. And again, remember, I'm not suggesting that these tools are always appropriate. I think sometimes they are and sometimes they're not, just depending on whatever it is you're doing in your classroom. I'm a big fan of City Guesser. I love the idea of students getting to experience different places they may never have the opportunity to go. And if you've ever seen City Guesser, it drops your students in a place and it's a video. So they not only get to see it, but they get to hear it. And it feels like they're walking around in that place. And then they have to guess where in the world that is. But I think you could use that tool in so many different ways, right? You could say, hey, as you are experiencing this location, I want you to look for nouns and verbs. I want you to look for living and non-living things. There's just so many connections we could make to that they are seeing, okay, this is the content that I'm learning about in class. And this is what it looks like beyond the walls of the classroom. This is what it looks like in this city or this country or whatever that is. And so City Guesser is awesome. It's a great way for your students to practice math. You could have them play five times and add their, they would add their totals up. So every time they guess where they are, it gives them a distance. So, oh, you're 350 miles off where this actually is, or you're 1,320 miles off. But they could play five times, keep up with their miles, their total. And so then they do just that. They find their total And then they could find their average by dividing by five. So now we've practiced adding whole numbers. Then they are practicing mean and average and dividing. And then you could have them decide who won. So if it's a group of them playing, they would say, hey, my average was whatever. My average was whatever. And then they could compare numbers, and the person with the lowest average would obviously be the winner. So something to consider. So many different standards you can tie into that one learning experience, but you can see how that gives them an opportunity to make connections. I wanted to give you a really practical example of that. So cityguesser.com, you guys check it out. I'm a fan for sure. Again, not suggesting it'll work in every situation, but I do think it is a good example of what that might look like. So we want to make sure that in order for technology to be meaningful, that it engages and empowers the learner, it helps them make connections, and then finally, that it deepens their understanding. Right, that it takes them to a place where it's not just about check, right? I'm trying to think of a way to say that. It's not just about, okay, I've learned this, I can regurgitate it on a worksheet, but I can actually do something with it, right? I can apply it. I talk about Wonderopolis a lot, and I do love Wonderopolis because it's such a great opportunity for your students to practice vocabulary, for them to practice reading comprehension. But one of the things that Wonderopolis does well is that after they read that nonfiction article, and that's wonderopolis.org. Again, I'll link to that in the show notes. But once they read that nonfiction article, at the bottom, there's a try it out. In other words, now that you've read this, now that you've learned about it, do it. Do something with it. And I think anytime we can encourage our students to apply what they've learned, or to do something with what they've learned, that always results in deeper understanding. And that's what we want, right? We don't want them just to be able to regurgitate it on a worksheet. We want them to be able to take whatever it is that they've learned and do something with it. So thinking about when you're considering a technology tool, will this deepen their understanding? Will it give them an opportunity to move beyond just learning the content and just checking off the box, and give them that opportunity to move into, I understand this so well that I can apply it, I can do something with it. Is that the case? So that's the third piece, deepens understanding. So again, we have engages and empowers the learner, helps them make connections, or deepens their understanding. And so I just think that's a good checklist to have. Like, you know, I'm going to have these, and every time I consider using a tech tool, I'm just going to think through that. And if the answer is yes to any of them, then it's a go, right? If it does one, two, or all of those things, I think it's something we should implement. But if we're thinking through that and it's like, no, I don't think so. I can't figure out how that would work. If the answer is no to all three of those, then I think we have to ask ourselves, why are we using this? Are we just using it because the teacher down the hall is using it? Are we just using it because we heard about it at a conference and we feel like everybody else is doing it, so we should do it? What is the reason? And I think that sometimes as educators, it's really important that we step back and consider why we are doing something. And I think this meaningful technology checklist, which I'm not a big fan of the word checklist, but that's what it is. This meaningful technology checklist really gives us perspective and helps us think through, hey, does it do these things? And if it doesn't, why am I using it? I told you guys I would give you a bonus question and something that I think we need to consider. And so that bonus question, you could probably guess what it is just, will it result in that willingness to invest? And that kind of takes care of itself in the engage question, obviously. But I think sometimes we just have to be explicit about it and ask ourselves, is it going to do that? Because if it does, I think, again, it's something that we should consider. So one more time, I know I've said them several times, but if you're driving and you are not able to write these down, I want to make sure they're burned into your memory. Anytime you are thinking about implementing technology, asking yourself three questions: will it engage and empower? Will it help them make connections? And will it deepen their understanding? Ultimately, will it result in that willingness to invest so that my learners want to learn this? And, you know, I talk often about that shift from not how will I teach, but how will they learn? And if this technology tool plays a role in that, if I say, how will they learn this, and this tool comes to mind, definitely something to consider. So one more thing I want to talk about before I hop off that I think is something we just kind of forget about. It's been around for a while. And I was just actually sharing this with some administrators this morning, and I want to make sure that I don't forget to talk about it. And that's just the TPAC framework. And if you haven't heard of TPAC, do yourself a favor and go to TPAC.org. Lots of great resources there. If you haven't heard of TPAC, it's a great place to kind of become familiar with it. But what this is really, it's kind of like a Venn diagram, except it's three circles. And it, I guess it's not kind of like a Venn diagram. It is a Venn diagram, but it is three circles. And it really addresses not just technology, but also pedagogy and content. And so it encourages us, I think, to remember that when we're thinking about technology, when we're thinking about implementing something with our learners or implementing something with our staff or with our campus or our district, if we're going to say, hey, this is something you guys need to use, I think we can't just stop there. It can't just be, okay, we're using this tool. We have to really be intentional about talking through how does using this tool connect with our pedagogical knowledge, what we know to be true, what we know we should be doing, what we consider best practice. How does this tool play a role in that? And then I think content, when we think about different educators, whatever it is that you teach, whatever it is that you spend time learning about and sharing with your learners, how does this tool connect to that? Making that connection between the content and the tool that you're using is important. And so I think this TPAC framework can be a really good reminder of a couple of different things. I think, first of all, it helps remind us that as educators, we're all good at different things. So I don't think it's a bad idea to look at the TPAC framework and ask yourself, where do I really land on this? Am I really strong in my technological knowledge? Like, do I really understand technology and it's something I can bring to the table? Am I really passionate about and really knowledgeable about my content? I know teachers like that who know their content so well, it almost blows my mind sometimes. I'm like, how do you know that? But they just know their content well. And that's so valuable. And then I think there are teachers who are just really pedagogically sound, right? They know how to teach. They know what works, what doesn't work. They have an amazing toolbox of strategies, and they have a ton of pedagogical knowledge. And so that pedagogy part would be really important and something to consider for them. So as educators, I think we can look at this TPAC framework and be a little bit self-aware and say, you know what? I'm really good at my content. I might struggle with technology, or I might struggle with pedagogy, or maybe I'm good at two things. Maybe pedagogy and content are where I really seem to shine, or that's what I'm really connect with or get. And then maybe I struggle a little bit with technology. I know a ton of teachers that are really good at technology and may struggle with the pedagogy part. What are the things that our best practice that are really can improve my practice of teaching, and they need those pieces. So I think it can help us be more self-aware as teachers. I think it can also help us with a collaboration model on our campuses to be able to say, hey, these are the teachers that are really, really feel comfortable with pedagogical knowledge. These are the teachers that really feel comfortable with content knowledge. And these are the teachers that are our technology experts, or those that are really good with utilizing technology. And knowing that it takes all of those pieces to really design a learning experience that is going to be valuable and that's going to really result in that willingness to invest that I talk so often about. So self-awareness for us as educators, collaboration opportunities, right? If I'm gonna create a group of educators, or I as an educator am gonna go look for someone to work with, I wanna know who's good at these pieces so I know what I'm missing and who I need to work with. And then finally, I think it can just be an opportunity for us to, again, think through, is this technology that I am considering utilizing going to be meaningful. So I think it's almost like different lenses that we can look through. So I want to look through the pedagogical lens when I'm thinking about a tech tool. How is this going to impact my pedagogy or my practice of teaching? Is this something that is going to make that better? Is it something that's going to enhance my practice? Thinking about content, what does this look like with whatever it is that I teach? What is this? How does this tool impact the content? Is it going to give my learners an opportunity to really understand it from a different perspective or to make those connections like we talked about that they might not be able to make without this tool? And then just thinking about the technology itself and maybe thinking through those three questions that we talked about at the beginning of this podcast. So TPAC framework has been around for a while. I still think it's super valuable and something that we can consider. There are so many other ways to utilize this framework. They talk about that on the website. Again, that's tpac.org. Such a great graphic to look at and consider and think through. What does this mean for me as a teacher? And where do I land on this Venn diagram? Am I in between two of them or am I right in the middle? And I really understand all three of these. And if that's the case, chances are you are a really great teacher doing really amazing things in your classroom. And that's not to say that if you don't land in the middle that you're not. I think there are so many things that come into play when we think about that. But I just want to say all those pieces are so important and definitely things to consider. So I hope that this has made sense to you. I think thinking through those three questions of, you know, is what I am utilizing in my classroom, first of all, is it manageable? Is it meaningful? And when we talk specifically about technology and thinking about, is it meaningful for my students? Those three questions are really important. Is it going to engage and empower? Is it going to help them make connections? And is it going to deepen their understanding? And then looking at this TPAC framework and thinking about it through those lenses, a pedagogical lens, a content lens, and a technological lens, and thinking about what role that tool plays in each one of those. So I hope this is helpful. I really was just thinking about, gosh, what do I want to talk about this week? What do I want to share? And I couldn't help but think about how much technology is being thrown at teachers right now and how many things we're having to consider. Like, do I use this? Do I not? Do I have to use this? Is this going to be meaningful for my learners? And I just think it's really important that we say out loud, somebody says out loud, just because a technology tool works in one classroom doesn't mean it's going to work in another. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. That's why it's important that we ask these questions. So I hope this has given you something to consider. As always, thank you so much for listening. I hope that you are doing well. If you have any questions, you can always email me at mcnairandy@gmail.com. Visit my website at andymcnair.com. I would love to connect with you there. And I hope you have a great week. And I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to learn with me today. I absolutely love this community and enjoy sharing and learning with you. Check out today's episode notes by swiping up in most podcast apps. If you'd like to learn and connect more, you can follow me over on Twitter at McNairAN3, and you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at A Meaningful Mess. You can always find tons of resources, inspiration, and information over on my website, andymcnair.com. Be sure to check out my blog, Genius Hour resources, and so much more. Enjoy the rest of your day, and as always, I hope that today's episode has inspired you to find meaning in your mess.